It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And of course, we have all seen a few of the early signs of spring, or spring. Let's make that the early signs of fall. And they are in the air, but you know what? They're a ways off. Fall is not here yet. Don't give up on your summertime activities. There's a lot of summer left, and I expect that I will see you out enjoying many of the activities that define summer in the next few weeks. But among the signs that I have seen, well, of course, there's always the spreading dogbane, that amazing little plant, dark green leaves. Well, the leaves are turning yellow right now. They are sort of shaped like a football in cross-section. So they come to a point at both ends, and they're sort of fat in the middle. They have the leaves in the summertime, and on some of the plants now, are dark green. The stems are red, and you might even see a few flowers remaining on the plants. They are little bell-shaped white flowers streaked with pink. And if the flowers have already occurred, there will be these long, thin pea pods, like 3 inches long and maybe an eighth of an inch wide. So they're very, very narrow, long pea pods. And these plants, the spreading dogbanes, are really, they offer a lot in the way of nutrients and sustaining, nurturing features for insects. Butterflies and moths and just a lot of critters really like those flowers. So if you have some around and they're turning yellow, don't be alarmed, but check for seed pods and maybe move some around. Put them in a different spot in your yard. Lovely to see. The other plant that caught my eye yesterday was the round-leaf dogwood. Now, not all of the dogwoods, in fact, only a few of the dogwoods have begun to change color, but there are a couple out there that are bright red right now. And if you are looking at them, you can look for the structure that holds the fruit. The fruits are sort of creamy, like skim milk white, kind of bluish white. And they will be present on the tops of these plants with these bright red leaves. The leaves go from red to a very dark, it's almost purple. It's burgundy, I guess, is where they end up. They will be in the process. This is the round leaf dogwood. So check them out. They're really pretty cool. The pagoda dogwoods, the cousin to the round leaf. Now, all of the dogwoods have opposite branches except the pagoda dogwood, which has alternate branches. But the pagoda dogwood now in my yard has almost no fruit left on it. And in fact, I looked at them last Friday and there were probably 100 to maybe 150 fruits still on the plants. That's down from probably 400 or 500 fruits that might have been on the plant. These fruits turn dark purple, burgundy. They're little round berries held up on a little red structure that holds up the fruits. And as of Friday, there were still probably 150 or 200 of these fruits on the plant. On Monday, yesterday, when I checked, they were all gone. All. Not just the ripe ones, but all of them. The green ones, the red ones, the purple ones, they were all gone. And oddly enough, there were a few robins in the area, and they are definitely moving around and cleaning up on any fruit that they can find right now in the area. Among the other fruits that I noticed, the red baneberries are ripe, and I was up in the Effie area with Janet and Don. We had a nice hike on some property that they own on the Big Fork River. And we saw baneberry up there, but it was white. Now, oftentimes when we see those, we go, oh, Doll's Eye Baneberry. Well, in fact, in this area, we do not have the Doll's Eye Baneberry, which is a separate species from the red baneberry that we have here. But our red baneberry can put out white berries. And I found a plant up in the Effie area, and then I found one at my house, both of which were baneberry, and both of which had these white berries, which would be inaccurately called Doll's Eye Baneberry. Doll's Eye Baneberry, the true Doll's Eye Baneberry, differs from the red baneberry by the size and structure of the plant, the part of the plant that supports the fruit. So if you're looking at a true Doll's Eye Baneberry, which, by the way, I have never seen in this part of Minnesota, it would have very, very thick stems holding up the fruit. The red baneberry has very thin stems holding up the fruit. The Doll's Eye Baneberry, the true Doll's Eye Baneberry, species name is Pachypodi. And Pachypodi refers to elephant's foot. And that just tells you that the structure holding up that fruit is fairly thick on a Doll's Eye Baneberry. So there are red baneberries in the area that are covered in white fruits, but they are red baneberries with white fruits, not the true Doll's Eye Baneberry. So that just, you know, if you want to be absolutely positively correct in your plant identification, that's probably where you want to go. The other thing that I noticed up in Effie that was different from here is that the hazel brush up there, and they had lots of American hazel, and the ones that I was looking at were absolutely loaded with nuts. At my house, the beaked and American hazelnuts have been harvested before Friday last week. So sometime before the 9th of August, the chipmunks and the squirrels and the deer and the bears and everybody who likes hazelnuts came and ate the hazelnuts off of the bushes in my yard. And it was, it seemed early, but, you know, you can't explain things to a chipmunk. They just won't listen. So not going to be worth your time. Another kind of sign of fall that is happening right now is that the burdock is in flower. Now, the burdock is a biennial. The first year, there are these great big green leaves coming off these very big, thick green stems that look a lot like rhubarb, but are not. They are burdock, and that is the first year. That is the rosette from which the plant will grow and flower. In the second year, it grows up a stalk that you're familiar with that gets to be 4 or 5 feet tall. And it has those, three-quarter of an inch maybe, round burrs that you find stuck in your dog's hair. And if you look at these burrs, they are covered with these little short vegetative hooks. And those are what get hung up in the hair. Now, there's another plant out there called yellow avens, which has the same sort of a seed pod. And it is a small circle, about 3/4 of an inch across, covered in hooks and filled with seeds. And both of these plants, both the burdock and the yellow avens, employ the same technique for getting their seeds dispersed, and that is hitchhiking. I was wandering through my land the other day, and I have this patch of downy rattlesnake plantain. And over the years, I have watched it, and several years ago, it was in flower to the tune of 23 flowering stems. Well, I walked up on it on Friday, and I counted 53 flowering stems. This is a patch that is roughly a meter square, and it is just this intense patch of downy rattlesnake plantain. And what makes this plant unusual is that each of the plants only flowers once, And what happens is the plant, after it flowers, it sends out a little stolon, a little arching stem that grows above the ground and then grows, touches the ground, and that starts a second plant. That's the next generation. And that plant will only bloom once. But at certain times, and for unexplained reasons, the downy rattlesnake plantain just goes crazy. And if I master the technology, I will happily put a picture of this patch of downy rattlesnake plantain out for you to observe. A couple of things that I noticed. One, the flowers are just starting to bloom. So the flowers at the base of the spike, it's a tall, first of all, the rattlesnake plantain is this gorgeous reticulated leaf that lays on the ground, and it has these dark green with white or very light green lines that really accentuate the leaf. And then you get this 12-inch stalk that comes up from that ground plant, from that those basal leaves, and the flower forms on that stalk. Well, as I looked at these stalks, some of the flowers were purely random. Others of the flowers circled the stalk going right to left. And on other plants, they circled the stalk going from left to right. And so I was really taken by the whole thing. Quite the experience. Downy rattlesnake plantain, a lot of fun to see that. While I was in that same area, I ran into a lot of ghost pipe, and you may have listened this morning to the talkback segments, and the kids were talking about ghost pipe blooming. This is a parasite. It almost always grows. Actually, I think technically, parasite is something that lives off of living material, and saprophyte is something that lives off dead material. And I believe that the ghost pipe is a saprophyte. I think it's almost always found in association with rotting wood underneath the soil. And there is a lot of it in the pine plantation that I live on. And so it is white. When it comes up, it has no chlorophyll. The flower is decumbent. That is, it points to the ground. And then as it ripens, the flower will stand up straight. And when it becomes fully ripe, it'll be the color of coffee, dark, dark brown. But right now, it ranges from white to pink to sometimes even red, though I have not seen the red ones myself. So watch for the ghost pipe. It's out there, definitely doing its thing. High bush cranberries are in fruit right now, but the fruit is not yet ripe, and there were lots of those up at Janet and Don's place along the Big Fork. Saw lots of high bush cranberry. I've been watching and eating a few blackberries. The season wasn't too bad for blackberry production this year, but the bush that I've been visiting, which is kind of arching into my yard so I can see it and get after it, there's somebody is coming along and eating the ripe berries, because every time I check it, the berries are on their way to being ripe, dark red, getting close to being ripe. And when I come back the next day, that berry is gone, and there's another one nearby that is on the verge of getting ripe, but not yet ripe. So I suspect the robins again. I think they're out there stealing my blackberries. I'm not sure what to do about that. I have showy mountain ash growing in my yard, and that is the native tree, the native mountain ash. There are a lot of varietals of mountain ash that you see around town, and they're going to have bright orange berries on them. The showy mountain ash, the native tree to this area, is covered in, it has a lot of fruit on it, but the fruits are just starting to turn orange. On Friday, they were a mixture of orange and green, and on Monday, they were mostly orange, but not at their full, like, oh, we're ripe finally. No, not quite there yet. So the showy mountain ash berries are getting ripe. If you have a mountain ash in your yard and the berries are bright orange already, it's probably a varietal and not the native plant. Tansy, asters, goldenrod, and monarda are all blooming probably close to their peak. Lots of species of asters out there, the flat-topped, the northern heart-leaved, the, the large-leafed asters, all of those are blooming. Tall and Canada goldenrod, gray goldenrod, common tansy, monarda, lots of things going on in that group. Very quickly, Dallas Hudson over in Akeley reported swarms of darner dragonflies. Darners are migratory, and the swarms usually sort of happen when the dragonfly's getting ready to head out. Meadowhawk dragonflies, the little red, and well, the males are red, the females are gold. They are becoming the predominant dragonfly that I'm seeing out there. The Labor Day ants, the little red-orange ants that make those little volcanic sort of structures in your driveway, are getting ready to release their males and queens. And so Dallas has seen some ants on the wing. I have not noticed that quite yet, but they will be flying about very soon. And they are called Labor Day ants because they come out and fly around during Labor Day. And finally, if you were listening last week, you heard an interview that we had with Jessica Peterson. She's a invertebrate entomologist with the DNR. And she recommended during her discussion with us that we prune pithy plants. Now, the two pithy plants that I have on my land are sumac and red elderberry. So when I got home last Tuesday, I grabbed a pair of shears and I went out and I cut branches off my red elderberries and sumacs like crazy, and had a great time doing it. And the reason that you do that is that mason bees will excavate that soft pith of the plant and lay their eggs down inside those tubes. And I was amazed. In 1 week, I went and checked yesterday, and as I was looking around, I found one of the cut ends that I had cut off last Tuesday had been excavated, and already a mason bee was starting a little family in there. So I was pretty impressed. So get out and prune your red elderberry and your sumac, and you'll be doing the mason bees a favor. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be again back next week to do it all over again.